A very good evening and a warm welcome along live from Blackadyside Farm here on YouTube and indeed our Gospel for Grampian YouTube channel. Live from Blackadyside Farm, this is the Power Hour and it's about applying God's word in prayer. And I have joining with me Robert Todd from Blackadyside Farm, welcome to you. Also from Colin and Madeline Windsor from Journey of the Christian Faith Ministries, welcome to both of you, and it's such a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. That's really great.
Now the theme for this evening is actually going to be expect. Now you may wonder why choose this one, and I was wondering on the way down what we could actually have. So I did ask God, what should we have? And the word immediately expect came to mind. So that's what we're going to do. And I believe to start us off, Robert, you have Isaiah 42.
Yes, indeed. Isaiah 42. The Lord gave me this scripture and we'll be saved 7 years now at the end of this month. So just to be up in arms with the Lord. But the Lord gave me Isaiah 42, and you might say to yourself, how do you know, Robert, he gave you Isaiah 42? Well, no matter where I opened the Bible to go to read God's word, it kept opening up at Isaiah 42. And when that happened a few times, you don't think much of it, but when it kept on happening, you realize the Lord was then speaking to you. I want you to get... pay attention to Isaiah 42. It's an awesome scripture. It's a big long passageway, and please read it because you'll really enjoy it. First part of running right through will tell you the awesomeness of God giving you his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you get away down to verse 9, and he says, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. So the Lord is awesome how he speaks to us through his word. And I want you to always remember, if you've got a question, call upon the name of the Lord and expect the great things from him, that he will, by the power of his Holy Spirit, will open the scripture. And I always read off the first chapter that the Lord gives me. So when you get into Isaiah 42, and he tells you clearly about the problems with the people in the world. If I take you even to verse 21, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law, and he will make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and plundered, all of them snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers for plunder, and no one says restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will listen and hear for the time to come? So I've been praying for the Lord to restore. I've given ear unto this, and I cry out to the Lord to restore. As Jesus told the disciples, asked the questions, Lord, is it not said that Elijah will come to restore before you return? Indeed, Elijah will come, said Jesus, and restore all things, or else I come and smite the earth with a curse. So the Lord, he's true to his word, and he will restore. And he's already started, friends. He's already started to restore. You can see it happening all around the world. It is just awesome, the things that's happening. And I just want you to realize that God has taken his people back. Satan has, he has taken them for the prey. He has taken them for the plunder. But the Lord has taken his people back, and he is in the process of restoring at this very, very moment. And you know, when I was praying here tonight and asked the Lord for a reading for to Tell us tonight for the Lord to speak to us through his word. And it was Isaiah chapter 12. And I'll just read it out to you because it's just a very, very short chapter. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yahweh, the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. So there you are, folks. You've heard the word of the Lord, and he's telling you clearly that there in Isaiah, even though the anger, and you comforted me, behold, God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid. So put all your trust in the Lord, and do not be afraid. Then he says, for Yahweh the Lord is my strength and my song. He's also become my salvation. You see, salvation is of the Lord. It's only the Lord can save. He is mighty to save, and he loves you, and he wants you to be in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, you know, when one sinner repents, the scripture says that heaven rejoices at the salvation of this person. And, you know, there we read on, and praise the Lord and call upon his name. Yes, call upon the name of the Lord. You know, if you're right with God, and you'll read in Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord says, you hold up your hands and you pray, and but I will, I hear your prayers, but I will not answer them, because you've still got that sin. But come, let's reason together, and I will wash you whiter than wool. And then he will hear from heaven and answer your prayer. The first prayer the Lord answered for Robert Todd was, Lord, I repent of my sins. But it's awesome of the Lord saying all these things. So just call upon his name, and he's always there.
Recently, I mean, over the years, of course, but recently, over the last few days, since Madeline and I have been here at Blackerty Side Farm, you've introduced us again, reintroduced you to restore, O Lord, the honour of your name. Is that the right words for that in the hymn?
Yes.
Yeah, just thinking about that, because it comes, just interesting, restore, O Lord, the honour of your name, that as we're restored, we give the honour to the Lord and the praise. And you know, it mentions here, you just read that, make mention that his name is exalted. It's all about the Lord, isn't it? And then the last bit you just read, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. It's all about the Lord. You know, it's all restore, O Lord, not restore us because we want, etc., etc., but restore your name. Restore your name in this nation as a holy one, a holy Lord. Restore, O Lord, the honour of your name in our lives, that we may give you the glory and the praise. I just wanted to mention that. It's so beautiful, isn't it?
What you share. You know, the Lord, he wants you to connect with him through the Holy Spirit. And this is where you'll build up this relationship with the Lord. I tell the people that God is more real to me than me speaking to them at that particular moment. So you've got to have this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you call upon his name, he will answer you and he will speak to you through his word. Yeah. But, you know, in that hymn, you'll restore, O Lord, you will find it in, it'll be in Mission Praises, number 196. And it's an awesome hymn of what the Lord is doing in these latter days. He is going to restore his name. He's going to restore the church that bears his name.
Yes.
He's going to refine us in the refiner's fire and make us ready for the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
You know, folks, if Jesus was to come tomorrow morning, we're not ready. So we need the Lord to restore. We need the Lord to put back what the evil one has taken. We need the Lord to prepare us like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. At a moment's notice, we're ready to go.
Yeah.
The Lord is mighty. Mighty in every way, yeah. And he knows you. He knows your name.
Yes.
He knows everything about you.
Yeah, amen.
And,
amen.
You know, I just think it's wonderful how he could save a sinner like me and lead me onto salvation. Now I wake up in the morning and I rejoice knowing that my Saviour lives, knowing that I am not to fear man. I just fear God. And the word of the Lord, but he will tell you, whenever you started to fear God, that was your first signs of wisdom. So I never got any wisdom till later on in life. But God is awesome. And call upon his name. Be in the word. And, you know, Colin, all the time when I've asked the Lord about, before some of the prayer meetings, I'll say to the Lord then, Lord, what hymn do you want sang tonight? And I let the Holy Spirit open up the Mission Praise, and it'll open up at 196, Restore, O Lord. And I know that is the Lord's intention of getting you tuned into what he is doing. So, folks, wherever you may be listening, look up that hymn, Restore, O Lord.
Indeed, I'm just thinking as you were speaking that because God has said it in his word, we can, because of Christ Jesus, take God at his word.
Yes.
We can be very sure. And
there's
a, from Philippians 1 verse 20, for I fully expect and hope that I never would never be ashamed, but that I continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and that my trust, I trust that my life will bring honour to Christ whether I live or whether I die.
Yeah.
And there's so many
scriptures
around this, and also speaking about a harvest and a greater glory. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 8 says, shouldn't we expect far greater glory under the new way now that the Holy Spirit is giving life?
Wow.
So it is about seeking God while he may be found.
Mm.
It is about being there in prayer, listening out for God, and then expecting.
Mm.
And God promises that for those who are godly, we will be able to expect a blessing,
yes,
and we will be able to expect
a harvest.
Yes,
indeed, indeed. You know, that's awesome. You said that there, Rob, because you know, springtime there, I was sowing the grains, and I did a calculation, and whenever we weighed a gram of seed, we knew how many grains was in that gram, and we multiplied it up. So I was sowing roughly about 1.1 million grains per acre. And so I sowed about 440 million grains, never mind carrot seed and potato seed and all different kinds of seed. You know, and they put that in the ground and covered it over with the rear harrow on the cedar so that Mr. Pigeon and Mr. Crow couldn't get it. And my work is finished. My work is finished. I put it in. And it's the Lord that takes over from that there. And I expect a good harvest because it is the Lord's work to deliver. So it's the same whenever you share the gospel with someone, and you know, whether they're a believer or whether they're not, I want you to sow the seed, share the gospel. I want you to cover it in prayer, because the Lord says immediately the enemy came to take it away, what was sown. Cover it in prayer that by the power of the Holy Spirit that seed that was sown cannot be taken. And you'll say something like, "Dear Lord, you know that man or woman that I've just shared that gospel message with. Lord, we just say to you, Lord, that cover that seed by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that enemy cannot take it. And Lord, save that person, him and all his family, for the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen." And then say something like, "Job done," because you believe, you expect. And your work is finished. Move on to the next person, because the Lord will bring that family for the kingdom. Because I've got the faith for that. And you have to have faith. And you have to have action. It was the faith and the action that made Father Abraham a friend of God. So that was awesome that you were talking about that seed there, Rob. So,
wonderful.
So I'm glad we tuned into that one to help our listeners. Yeah.
Very much so. And actually, the proper scripture about the harvest is 1 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Wasn't he actually speaking to us? Yes, it was written for us that the one who ploughs and the one who threshes the grain might both expect a share of the harvest.
Praise the Lord.
And I know, I have to bring it in because you are a farmer at heart, very much so. You work out what is needed, you work out everything about your fruit plants and everything, and you go out and do it. And at the end of the day, you can expect a harvest along with your workers and then along with the public who actually come and enjoy. But it's God who actually brings it about.
Yes.
And I think we shouldn't actually forget God in all of this.
Yes. Very much so.
I can't help but to introduce Psalm 23, the words that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, that it's all about the Lord and his provision. You know, we should not, I mean, if you misconstrue those words, people may not figure that out, but there is nothing outside the Lord that we need. He provides everything. And we expect it because he said it. He says it in his word that we should not desire anything outside Jesus Christ. He is everything to us. We put our trust in him. He's created us to worship him, to glorify him, and not to say want, but to glorify him. And he says quite clearly, the promise is that if you trust in me, I will cover all your needs. There's nothing, nowhere you can go, no height or depth you can go except in me, and I will just pour out my blessings upon you. Isn't that lovely? We don't have to go any further than Jesus Christ.
This is it. You know,
he is everything, isn't he? Through the Father and
the Spirit. The Lord just wants us to sow exceedingly that seed of the good message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And a plus sign gets you there very slowly, but a multiplication sign multiplies it up so much more rapidly. So as you share the gospel, multiply it. Use a multiplying symbol and go for it, and have faith in the Lord that he will deliver. You know, there was one time up Salvation Street in Leven, and I was telling this wee gentleman, he's in his 90s and he's walked with the Lord all his day. And this gentleman came along and he was under influences of a large amount of alcohol. And so I was giving him a gospel track, and so he stopped and he received the track, and I was starting to share with him, and the whiskey was talking back at me. But anyhow, he more or less said, it's not for me. He was moving on. You know, when he did move on, the gentleman who was at my side, the man who'd walked with the Lord all his day, I says, brother, come on, let's pray for that man. And we prayed that man into the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. We did not let Satan go to take that man. We prayed to the Lord. Lord, you know that man. Lord, we want him saved for the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, him and all his family, Lord. We trust you, Lord, that you will do it. Yeah. And we ask it in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And whenever that prayer was finished, the elderly gentleman who was with me, he says, wow, wow, because he knew that we had won the battle for the Lord.
Yeah.
Because if we had a very negative approach, it is not good in the eyes of the Lord. So remember that.
It's interesting that, what is it, a year ago, for example, that, or more, maybe you could clarify this, that you decided when you and your ministry team were in the high street of Lehman, is to say, well, look, we are witnessing here, we're witnessing week after week. We believe the Lord is calling it to be changed to Salvation Street. Now, what's that to say? That's faith, expectation.
That's
you're expecting it,
yeah.
You're claiming that.
That's
because
right.
That is exactly within the will, to pray according to the will of our Lord.
Yeah.
And you've changed it yourselves, between
changed
yourselves and ourselves.
Took away that old type of high street and called it Salvation Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a claim, what a expectation there is in that, that people are going to be saved, they are being saved.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful, isn't it?
Wonderful, and that's it. Step out for the Lord, and as he
says,
lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Yeah, and he is so true to his word. Just follow him mightily, and expect these great things from him, and he will deliver. And I don't know whereabouts in the scripture it says, Colin Madden, about that we'll come into the kingdom with our sheaves coming.
I think, why not you actually look that one up? Because I only need to remind our listeners that we are broadcasting the Power Hour, and the Power Hour is about applying God's word in prayer. And in a minute, I'll perhaps go and get Colin or Madeline to actually pray about some of the things that we've talked about, because we have talked already at some length about expectation, about expecting, because that is the theme of this talk here, this program which we're broadcasting directly from Blackaddy Side Farm at Leven in Fife, hence the references to Leven. And we are indeed the guests of Robert Todd and Blackaddy Side Farm, so thanks very much to them for that. So I wonder if I can get you, Madeline, to pray about some of the things that we have already talked about, the expectation, the sowing, but also the reaping, and then putting that word, God's word, into prayer with regard to bringing more people into the kingdom. Then we'll talk a bit more and we'll do some more prayer, because this program is about prayer.
Lord Jesus Christ, we lift this up to you, what we've been discussing. Lord, we pray for a harvest. Lord, we know in your word that the farmer sows the seeds. And Lord, you are the one who grows them and makes them grow for you. And Lord, we know about the parable of the sower. And Lord, we know that you're the one who waters the seeds, who helps, makes the seeds grow while the farmer sleeps. Lord, we do our bit. We plant the word. We tell people about you. But But Lord, you are the one who helps the seeds to grow. And Lord, it's your word that you fill with your people, your word that brings restoration to us. Lord, we only have to open your Bible, the word, and Lord, you speak to us through it. Lord, we follow your will and your way. And Lord, we sow seeds. We sow seeds that will bear fruit for you, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, you are the one who will fill people's hearts with your word and your Holy Spirit. Lord, you are the one who can do this. You are the one who brings restoration into our lives, because no one else can. And Lord, sometimes you heal people physically, sometimes you will heal them spiritually. And Lord, we're asking tonight, as the people listen to you, that they will be filled with your Holy Spirit, that they will be filled with boldness. And Lord, that they will follow your word. And Lord, may they be filled with your word and your Holy Spirit to go forth and tell others about you. Lord, we ask for this in your name. Lord, the harvest is aplenty, but the laborers are few. Lord, bring the laborers up, that these people may labor and a great harvest will grow, and this harvest will be picked for you, Lord Jesus Christ, in restoration. Lord, do it, we pray. We ask this in your name, O Lord. Amen.
Amen. That was excellent, Madeline. Thank you very much. Now, listeners, you may be wondering about the sound quality. Hearing Madeline coming across so clearly and everyone else somewhat echoey. But you know what? This great person who has decided to do this recording and broadcast has put the microphone onto the wrong setting. So just a moment. That's better. Oh dear, honestly, what a great so-and-so. My apologies to everyone and particularly to our listeners, but we now have liftoff, proper liftoff. And hopefully people have been able to hear what has in fact been said. We have it on the correct end. We have been for people just joining us, broadcasting here from Gladyside Farm. We've got Robert Todd and Colin and Madeline Windsor as well. And we've been talking about expectation. Colin, I believe you have something to share with us.
Yeah, it's just that the Lord's brought my attention to John 3:16. You know, the fact that the Lord loves all his creation. You know, he desires, you know, we've been talking about expectation, faith and so forth, the harvest. But this is for everybody. Everybody who places their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord loves us. He loves all his creation. But in a relationship needs to be two ways. There's people out listening now to this program that I'm sure we all concur that the scriptures are saying that this is for all of his creation. And if we only put our trust in him, maybe we're listening and we don't know the Lord. Maybe we're being quite rebellious in our life whilst we're listening to this program, that we haven't asked Jesus Christ into our lives, that he desires for us to trust him, to worship him, to glorify, to find out about what his promises are, what sort of things that we can expect from the Lord, because as a familiar passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Isn't that wonderful that this message we're sharing this evening through this broadcast is for
everyone,
all, for everybody? Yeah. And isn't it wonderful that the Lord, you know, we have come into his wonderful kingdom and his desire through us is to share that good news. Salvation Street that Robert has shared with his ministry team. Going out in the highways and the byways, the Lord has placed that in your heart, Rob,
through
the gospel for Grampian. It's not a holy hour, it's to communicate about Jesus Christ and how much he loves us, and the need for us to not be rebellious. The need is to repent and ask for forgiveness and come to the cross and to place our sins upon the cross and to accept Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Mm-hmm. In our lives. That's a message for everyone. What a wonderful Lord we have.
Yeah, and we can do nothing to deserve any of this.
Absolutely.
We don't have to, with God, we don't, God knows us through and through. We cannot put any mask on. Yeah. We are who we are. God sees us for who we are, and all we can do is God simply wants us to just say, look, Lord, I am me, you're you, and I need you in my life. I need your forgiveness.
Yes.
I would like, and God loves it when we say, I would like to have that rich relationship with you made possible through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is what God loves. And when we then say, Lord, I love you so much, I want to live my life in the way that you would want, as well as speaking the gospel, we're then starting to demonstrate the gospel by loving our neighbour and by making sure that other people are able to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre. And that's what gospel for Grampian.
Well, Madeline's been studying the words of the Lord, I am the bread of life, haven't you, Madeline?
Mm.
And, you know, that is a very strong, very poignant, isn't it?
Because
bread is known. We recognise that bread is a basic requirement of the Lord, basic provision from the Lord. We know that from the Old Testament, also from the manna. The manna, the Lord provided manna, he provided food, bread. So Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and that he desires to feed us, to trust him, to walk with him.
To eat
of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And, you know, earlier on there we were talking about the harvest, and I just want to take you to John's Gospel, and so it's John chapter 4, and if I take you reading from, say, 34, so John chapter 4, verse 34, and Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. Praise the Lord for his word. The Lord's telling you there very clearly that just take a look at the people round about you. They are ready for harvest. The harvest is plentiful.
Mm.
As Madeline said earlier on, and the labourers are few, and pray to the Lord of the harvest for more labourers. But there the Lord's speaking to you clearly that our job is to go out and tell the people about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus never once said, sit in the church and wait for the people to come. In Luke 10, he says, go out. And that's what we do. We go onto Salvation Street and we sing the hymns. And we start off by singing Restore, O Lord, on Salvation Street every week. But on the Friday, I call upon the name of the Lord to give me a reading to read out on Salvation Street. Because when the Lord said to me all the time ago, read out my word, I says, yes, Lord, I'll read out your word on one condition, that You choose it, Lord. You choose it, Lord, and I'll read it out. So week after week, the Lord gives us the word to read out, and that's what we've got to do, is just be obedient to what the Lord says and do it. But there he's telling you that, you know, some sow and some reap. And I want you to think that when someone comes over to you and he wants to give their life, or he or she wants to give their life to the Lord Jesus, someone has sowed in that field long before you were ever there. So praise God for that. And you know, that seed can lie dormant, and you know, the old enemy comes along, but it's still been covered with prayer and it's lying dormant, and in the Lord's time he wakes it up, because he knows when that person is ready for harvest. You know, here I am, I spoke to you earlier about sowing the crops, and you know, I expect a great harvest, because the Lord will provide whenever I sow. And I pray to the Lord, Lord, bless these crops, Lord, and you make them grow and bring on the harvest. You know, and when it comes harvest time, I've got to be patient, I've got to wait. Because if I put the combine in before the crop is ready, it'll be spoilt. All the work is spoilt, it's ruined. So I've got to be patient, and I got to wait, and I got to wait, and I got to wait. And when the time's right, in goes the combine. And it's easy for the combine, and the harvest is taken. It's the same for the Lord. You know, whether you have known the Lord for many's a year, or a very short time, or maybe you don't know the Lord as yet, I want you to think that at that time, whenever you did come to salvation, you were ripe unto harvest. The Lord took you at that right time. And, you know, for the people who's not saved as yet, and you remember, now I'm using that word, as yet, because the Lord says, my word will not return void, it'll achieve what it was sent to do. So if you're hearing the gospel here tonight, I've got the faith that you're going to come into the kingdom. So do not harden your heart to it, but open your ears unto the gospel of the Lord.
I think of the scripture, you know, that Jesus, remember, maybe you could sort of expand on this, I'll just throw this into the conversation, that, you know, when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee and they were fishing, very experienced fishermen, you know, they've been in choppy waters and get quite blowy out on the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah.
Winds can come up on the waves and so forth. But I think, was it he and the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus was just away from the boat a little bit. And they said, did Jesus say, well, cast your net to one side? I don't know which side it was, but cast your net over, and you'll catch plenty of fish. And I think they're a bit sort of, well, in a way, well, we've been fishing for years.
We've fished all night. We've caught nothing.
We've been fishing for years. You know, there's nothing. You know, it's the wrong time, and they can tell that things aren't. You know, the climate isn't right. Something's not right. We weren't going to catch all these fish by throat. But if that's what you want, Lord, that's what they're saying to him. If that's what you desire, Lord, we'll throw it over the side. And what happened is they threw the net over the side. And they started pulling the fish in. They could hardly get the fish.
That's right.
You know, it's a harvest, isn't it? The harvest of fish. Yeah. And calling to be fishers of men.
Yeah.
I don't know whether we could expand on that. Yeah. But as an evangelist, as you are, and we all are, hopefully, that what does that sort of say to us?
The Lord was telling them, do as I have commanded you, and expect a great catch.
Yeah.
And they got a great catch. And the number of fish, it was huge in number, and the net never broke.
No.
The net stayed in place.
Yeah.
So it was wonderful that time.
Trust, expectation, and so forth. Although at first they were not so sure about it, and thought they knew better. But you know, it also, sort of indicates that it's not what we can do as man, it's not what man can do, it's what the Lord can do through us.
Yeah.
He does it through us.
Yeah.
And that taught them a bit of a lesson, probably, in all of us, really.
Indeed,
he
indeed.
Called them to, he provided the net and the boat and the sea and the fish, and he called them, instructed them to do that. All they needed to do was to be obedient.
Yeah.
And whether we're a Christian or not, we should sort of, if you're not a Christian listening tonight, this is the calling that we have to trust in him. If we're a Christian, we're giving our lives to the Lord, to trust him and expect from him even increasingly more.
This is it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the Lord's been bringing to my mind Hannah, Mary and Elizabeth, all three women. Couldn't have children. Mary wasn't married, but what did the Lord do there? Those three women prayed. Yeah. Well, Elizabeth and Hannah were both given the child, and Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, was told they trusted in the Lord. Elizabeth trusted in the Lord that she'd have this child,
yeah.
And she did. And Hannah trusted in the Lord, and she had Samuel, and she gave this wonderful prayer of praise that she had this son that she gave to the Lord, to Eli to bring up. And Mary trusted in the Lord when the angel Gabriel said to her, you will have a child.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary just did this song of praise, didn't she? Humble state of your servant. Yeah. And the three women trusted in Yahweh to have these children.
Wonderful.
He planted a seed in each one of them to have these sons.
Beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful how they trusted.
Yeah, one of the things, when you've been talking, what comes over to me is that it's this thing about God's love for each one of us that is important. Because of God's love, he knows when the best time is.
Yeah.
Because of your love for the things that you do, for your family, and indeed for your farm and for your workers, you are patient, and patience is part and parcel of what love is about. God is patient with us, and it's about love, and it's about that waiting. And I've got to be patient with regard to the ministry here, even when things don't go right. But yet know that God is in control. Yet know that God has a perfect time, and that God loves each one of us. And it's how to communicate that to others. And I need to mention one thing that God has did for Helen and I. And when we'd come away from this, he challenged me to speak about it. And I mentioned it last week, and I'll mention it again right now for our listeners on YouTube. Helen and I recently went away to Shetland and Orkney, and we went to a beautiful place called Aishness. On the way back to where we were staying, Helen said, let's just stop at this lochan. And there was a beautiful sunset, and the colours were extraordinary and extreme. But we were the only two people there at that point, listening to the birds, watching the sunset, they're slowly changing colours, the mists coming across the lochan. Mm-hmm. It was just a time of great peace. Mm-hmm. It was a time of great love. Yeah. And I had a real sense that God was there. And it was as if God had done it for both of us at that point.
Yes.
But I'm sharing it with you because God is like that. When you get to know God, he shows his love in the most remarkable ways. And he did that for us because he knew we would appreciate it. And in the same way, God does things for each one of us.
Yeah.
And no doubt, I'm sure that, Robert, you could cite many experiences, even on the farm here, when you've been doing your evangelizing, of just those special times, you and God. And it's that special relationship, a father-son relationship, and God wants to give that to each one of us.
Yeah.
And I just say these things to encourage our listeners that God wants a relationship with us, each one of us, that is so deep, so profound, and he will do special things like that just for us, but also so that we can share that with others and let others know that God is like that.
Yeah.
He will do that.
Yeah.
And I just felt it was a good idea to mention that, because it's something of God's love for us. He will do special things, and I'm sure you've done special things for your kids.
Yeah, just whenever you were saying there, there's one thing just sprung to mind, and it was a combine a number of years ago, and with two combines going in one big field, and there came this huge big black cloud, and it was massive. It could, it reached as far south as your eye could see, and it reached as far north as your eye could see. And it was totally black, and it was real low. Oh, you knew it was just going to be a huge deluge. And there I was, a new recruit with the Lord, and I called upon his name. I says, "Oh Lord, Lord, let us stay dry. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, break that cloud, send it another direction, Lord. Lord, I don't want any rain. I want this harvest, this combine to be finished." So I was in one combine, and there was the other chap. He was actually a wee Polish boy on the other combine. And I prayed to the Lord, and then the cloud started to roll back on itself, and it split. It split. It was so dense, but yet it all had split. And whenever it split and you looked up, it seemed like as if it was only 20 meters of a split, but it was probably 20 miles of a split. I'm not sure. But there was like a big bunch of heavy raindrops on the window of the combine, 15 or 20 raindrops. In other words, the Lord was showing you the rain was here, but I've heard your prayer. I've split the cloud. And you know, we combined all that day and got the harvest all finished and no rain. And you know, there was neighbors on up the coast completely washed out. And there was talking to a farmer who farms just at the north of England, and he was washed out that day. And you know, the wee Polish boy in the combine, whenever he seen the clouds splitting, he rang me up and he says, Farmer, look at the sky. What's happening?" And I said, "I prayed to the Lord for to split the cloud. I was thinking you did that. I was thinking you did that." And so praise be to God. I have seen the Lord at work, and he's there for you too, folks. Put your trust in him. And whenever I called upon the name of the Lord to split that cloud, I expected it to be done. And it was done. He delivered it. And so all praise to the Lord.
It's interesting when you come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, that, we don't obviously worship the created of our Lord. We worship the Lord. Mm-hmm. But he's made all these things. They're beautiful, the flowers, it's just absolutely amazing. And when we come to know the Lord, I mean, Madeline and I were speaking by telephone a few weeks ago to a gentleman who's 89 years of age. He and his wife live in the Outer Hebrides in North Uist. And he has said that he was one of the first young men, to be revived in a revival, a Christian revival, in 1949. And when he received the Holy Spirit in his life, when he gave his life to Christ, when Christ entered into his life, as he walked home that night, everything seemed to represent Jesus. He could see Jesus in the stones as he was walking home. He could see Jesus in, although it was getting darker, he could see everything. He looked at the people, everything, he said, he quotes, "Everything seemed different." Mm-hmm. And that was the, because he'd put his life and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it went beyond that. There's this scripture here from Psalm 8, just part of it. "When I consider Your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. And then he goes on to say, what is man that you are mindful of him? But, you know, he talks about, you know, his creation, Psalm 8, and so do other scriptures point to his creation. That we're an awesome wonder. We love the Lord and we worship him, but we're just amazed how you look up the sky and you say, well, I made that. Well, look at these flowers. I've made those as well. Yeah, wow, aren't they wonderful? It's a sort of a, it's an extra thrown in of his creation. And you could start to put your trust in the Lord deeper and deeper, but recognize the way the Lord creates things so beautifully. You go around your farm, and see, you say, wow, Lord, you know, you give the glory to the Lord. Lord, this is beautiful. I mean, now, do please help us out, because we should know this by now, but is it corn or isn't it corn? Now, as we've travelled from London, we particularly drove into Scotland, although it doesn't relate just to Scotland, but the beautiful yellow, the field is absolutely yellow.
Yeah.
And what is that? Is that corn or?
That's oil seed rape.
Is it?
That's oil seed rape.
Absolutely beautiful. I mean, and we're saying, well, Lord, what wonderful, didn't we, as we were driving along. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. It's just amazing what the Lord does.
And that's his creation.
His creation, yeah.
And that against the trees, the green, the fresh green trees, I was driving down and I saw that, but the fresh green trees providing that, and then the background hill was amazing. All these things that we've been discussing are amazing, but they just show God's love for each one of us. Yeah. For you and for me, there's nothing that we can do to deserve that, or but all we have to do is to reach out and take, and for those of us who do believe, we can expect because of what Christ Jesus has done for us.
Yes.
And we can expect. Yeah. Now, this program has been the Power Hour, and it's been about expectation, applying God's word in prayer. And that's what I think we ought to do right now. We've already had Madeline, a very good prayer from Madeline, but I'd like to ask you, Robert, to do a prayer now, really wrapping up some of the things that we've been talking about over the whole program, and anything else that the Lord leads you to speak about and to pray about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh dear Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, we give you all glory, honor, and praise, because you are Almighty God, you are sovereign. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus Christ, for what you endured for us on the cross of Calvary, taking our sins upon that cross. And you tell us clearly that if we go by the way of the cross, no one, you say, Lord, no one goes to your Father except through you. So we know it's by the way of the cross and the blood shed for us on that cross of Calvary. And we thank you, Lord, for your powerful, awesome Holy Spirit that is with us here on earth, and for the words that we speak, as you say, Lord, is no longer ours but yours that you give us. So Lord, then we thank you for everything you've done, for your awesome creation all around. We thank you, Lord, for, you know, that Holy Spirit that you have put in on each and of us who has accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we've asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for that, and we thank you that your word, Lord, is always with us and helps us to be bold and strong in the gospel and sharing out. And Lord, you know, Lord, this night it was all about the word expecting. And Lord, we're expecting a great revival, a glorious, victorious revival, Lord. Yes, Lord, we are expecting a great awakening. We're expecting, Lord, for us to be restored before our Lord Jesus Christ returns. So, Lord, we call upon your name, Lord, to restore us, revive us, awaken us, Lord. And Lord, for all our listeners who's listening here tonight, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, whether, Lord, they're walking with you in salvation as a saved person, or whether they still don't know you yet as Lord and Saviour. We pray for each and every one of these people, Lord, that's listening tonight. We pray for blessings upon them, Lord. We pray for protection upon them. We pray, Lord, for the unsaved to be bold and strong and come forth unto salvation. You know, Lord, you are so awesome how you've given it all to us, the gift of salvation. It's free. All we've got to do is accept it. You say, Lord, speak with thy mouth and I shall be saved. So I thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we call upon you, Lord, for every man, woman, boy and girl all around the world, Lord. Lord, that you will bring them onto salvation. Lord, you know all that precious seed, Lord, that has been sown, and Lord, that we're expecting that harvest to come. So Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bring in this harvest. Bring it safely into thy barn. And Lord, we think about all the families tonight that are going through a hard time. And we ask you, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to give them comfort. And Lord, show them your way. And Lord, open the scriptures for them and speak to them through your word. Guide them, Lord, thy great Jehovah, because it's only you, Lord, can do it. And we thank you, Lord, that you tell us that the prayers of a righteous man or woman will availeth much. Because, Lord, that is an awesome word from the Lord, that our prayers are heard and our prayers are answered. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you for everything. You're a God of creation. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That is fantastic. Excellent. Thank you very much, Robert Todd. Thank you very much, Colin and Madeline. As you were just starting to pray, one thing did come to me, which I think I ought to mention. One of the things that I do pray regularly and each day, because the Bible and Jesus spoke about the fruits of the Spirit, and it's my prayer for each and every believer all around the world that not only would it be like a church without walls, that or as I would call it, unity of response, believers from all denominations putting aside all differences, coming together to live, love and serve, to engage, equip, enable communities to live life to the full with Christ Jesus at the centre, but that each one of us would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then have and develop these fuller, greater, deeper fruits of love. But then I also do unity of spirit, unity of truth, unity of response, unity of purpose, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, self-control, patience, goodness, faithfulness, humility, compassion, service, and audaciousness. So I pray for all these 17 things every day.
Wow.
And I know that it reels off the tongue, but, and people might think, who on earth are you to pray all these things? But these are the things that the Bible speaks about.
Yeah.
And therefore, I believe that they're important for each and every one, each and every believer to have that. Little by little, we're getting there. But you know what? It's important that we realize that some people think that Christians have to be perfect immediately. I think that there have to be perfect, but it's not. It's a relationship. It's a journey with Christ. And God is faithful and patient with each one of us. He loves each one of us. And as we said before, at the right time, he will bring things on more and more. And little by little, we're going to get there. Little by little, praying these things, we will get there.
Indeed. Wonderful. The Lord, he hears your prayer, especially whenever you have done that sinner's prayer. So the first prayer that he answered of Robert Todd was, Lord, I repent of my sins. Cleanse me by the blood of Jesus. Lord, make me the person you need me to be. In Jesus' name. and then pick up the cross and walk with the Lord, and He will guide you each and every way. His word will be a lamp and a light onto your feet, onto your path. So trust in the Lord, Yahweh, at all times. Thank you very much for coming here to Blackity Side tonight. And
it's been a great pleasure. It really has.
Recording.
It's been too long in coming, actually. Far too long in coming. But I'm glad we've done it. And listeners, we hope that you've enjoyed it. Apologies to everyone for the mic issue earlier on, because I had it on the wrong setting. It just must be my eyes. I didn't put my glasses on. But apologies for that. And before we finish, to make a challenge to all believers, not only to pray those 17 things, sounds like a lot, but why not be bold? Why not go out and take the High Vis Gospel Challenge?
Yes, I've seen that, you know, this High Vis Gospel Challenge here tonight, and it's a wonderful High Vis Challenge. It's a luminous vestis. It's orange in colour, and it says in the back of it, Gospel for Grampian. Yeah, and there's a scriptural verse in the back: for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever, isn't that an awesome, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but shall have eternal life. And that's in John 3:16. It's here, and this is a wonderful High Vis jacket. So we need to get some ordered for Salvation Street and get them on.
Yeah, good idea. Anyway, why not take the High Vis Gospel Challenge, and you'll see a picture of the. I think we ought to take a picture of Robert modelling this High Vis.
I hope it's large enough.
Go on, go for it.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a kind of live radio on YouTube, but we're going to take a picture of him modelling this High Vis Gospel jacket. There's a lot of... and there we have it.
Oh, it fits well.
Isn't it wonderful?
I need extra lights for me, folks.
Well, you can get extra large. There we go. Excellent. Thanks very much, listeners, for joining us, and we will be back hopefully on air live, not only on YouTube but on Gospel for Grampian 2, and here's praying for FM as well. Bye bye for now.